I'd like you to open your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 5. And notice with me a few verses here in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 15, Ephesians chapter 5. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. I'm taking my subject tonight from verse 21. If you'd like to notice that verse, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. My subject is submitting yourselves one to another. There are three Bible words that we notice in the Word of God. One is the word subject. It means to set in, array, under. We refer to this many times, or use an example, the king's subjects or the queen's subjects, meaning that the subjects are under the king or under the queen. Another Bible word that we have is the word subjection. It means to be, bring, put in, into, under. Carries with it the idea to be, to subdue, to be humbled, to lead into servitude, and to give submission. The other Bible word is the word submit, talking of submitting of oneself unto or under, or basically meaning to yield. I believe that there are many problems today in the day in which we live, and especially in our New Testament Baptist churches. And I believe this is one of them. Do you find it hard to submit I do. I really do. This is an age-old problem. It is hard for man to submit or be in subjection to one another. It's a hard thing. Since the Garden of Eden, man has had to contend with a depraved nature. The result of this has been pride, envy, and rebellion. Now Cain had this problem. He slew his brother Abel. The brothers of Joseph also had this problem. They sold Joseph into slavery. Now what was it all about? They would not submit. You know what they said about Joseph when they'd see him coming? Now God had already planned this thing out and the way it was going to be. And when they'd see him coming, they'd say, "There comes that dreamer." This is a problem for us in every aspect of our life. For every one of us here tonight, I believe, I'm not going to put no oven in my sermon, but of course the only ones heard Brother Smith and appreciate that. But I am going to put this in here. We have a problem today among Baptist preachers. Submitting one to another in the fear of God. The same problem of pride and envy and rebellion. I want us to consider three places or spheres where rebellion and lack of submission will cause us much heartache and many problems. It would be good for us to remember that God has ordained the chain of command or the chain of authority. It is ordained of God. Matter of fact, I don't know anything ain't ordained of God. But we forget these things. He has decreed, purposed, and planned. God is a God of order. And not a God of confusion. And so when you read something in words in the Word of God, and God tells you to do it, you can count on that He put it there, and He planned for it to be that way. Amen. Amen. Now, with keeping this thought in mind, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You read in Ephesians 5 and you read in Ephesians 6, and when this verse here, it says, when we're submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord, and then it goes on and talks about the husband and wife relationship, the relationship between the children and the parents, and the masters and servants, and it'll say, as unto the Lord. And this is very important for us to recognize this. Now, the first place in life that we have that God requires of us that we submit ourselves, we're first of all and told in the Word of God that we are to submit ourselves under the higher powers. Turn with me to Romans chapter 13. The 13th chapter of the book of Romans, and there in verse 1 through 7. Somebody said, that don't mean me. Well, you read it with me. Are preachers exempt from this? Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. But the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, or avenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay you tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. I believe that every New Testament Baptist that knows the Word of God believes that government is by divine appointment. When Titus was writing, or Paul writing to Titus about the higher powers, listen to what he said. He said, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Now, I realize that the heart of the whole thing today is that we many times refuse to submit to the higher powers because we even refuse to submit to the highest power, and that is God. In these higher powers, he means our president. Lord, pray for him. I'm thankful we have a president. We ought to pray for our congressmen, the governors, the judges, even the sheriff. Now, it goes without saying that we know there's crooked people in politics. But they serve a purpose. Even the subordinate ones acting under them with invested power. They are also ordained of God, and we are subject to them. And somebody said, well, I just don't like, you know, what's going on, and I'm not going to obey the laws of the land. Well, you're violating God's word.
Amen,
brother. Amen. That's what you're doing. I don't like a lot of things goes on either. And I don't like what they spend my tax money for lots of times. But I still pay taxes. And verse 6 puts that in there. You can't get out from under that. Now, and so he says, who is it that is to be subject to the higher powers or to submit to the higher powers? Ever so. Every rational creature is to be subject to civil government. Every individual of mankind and every law official. I've never seen a day when there's more law officials in trouble because they thought they were above the higher powers. Because they were part of the higher powers or the civil government, they felt like that gave them a license to violate the laws of the land. But yet, how thankful I am that even they're subject to the higher powers. I believe that every preacher of the gospel, I believe, and I don't only believe, but I know, we set a bad example when we do not obey the laws of the land. Even the double nickel. I knew I'd get us all in that. Now he goes on and says, for there is no power but of God. All power and authority is of God. Power that man has over all the creatures is of God. Power that the husband has over the wife is of God. Power that the parents have over children is of God, and the power that masters have over servants is of God, and the power that princes have over their subjects is also of God. Now, God puts kings on thrones, and he pulls them down. I said that last night over at Brother Rogers, and I was preaching over there. It would please me if you'd pull Gaddafi off. But you know when you do it? God's time. At his time. He won't last any longer. Then God is going to use him for his honor and glory. The powers, he says in this passage of Scripture, that be are ordained of God. We are not to resist the ordained power of God. Now we can resist the civil power that does not rightly discharge their office. That would cause us to disobey our Lord or cause us to disobey God. We're to pay our taxes. I hope everybody's paid their taxes. We're to be law-abiding citizens. We have had a whole generation of flag burners, draft dodgers, and protest marchers. Amen. We still have them. And we don't have any place in any of these that I've mentioned here. I don't know. I started to say I wish Jerry Falwell, and I don't know whether I do or not. He might be better in politics. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. If a man's going to preach error, that's where you ought to be in politics. Yeah, where you ought to be. Yeah. Okay. So we see that submitting yourselves, I believe we submit ourselves under the higher powers. But there's another place, there's a second place that we must submit ourselves one to another. And that's in the home. There should never be abuse of power here. First of all, in the home, there's the head. I believe we've seen this very clearly here in Ephesians chapter 5. And there in verse 23, it says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body." Now, I believe we see from this passage of Scripture that Christ gave himself to save his body. He practiced self-denial and made it an object of intense solitude to preserve his church. The husband should follow pursuit. The husband should make his wife happy. I preached this in my church. I didn't get too many amens. Yeah. The husband should make his wife happy.
Amen, brother.
He ought to save her from need. I didn't say wants. He ought to save her from need. He ought to save her from affliction and pain. He should regard himself as her natural protector. He should provide for her needs, and he should comfort her in time of trial.
Amen.
We see, though, in submitting yourselves one another in the fear of God, he is accountable to his head, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I believe that we're accountable, and I believe that we submit under our head the Lord Jesus Christ when we do these things that I've mentioned that God has designed for us to do in the Word of God.
Amen.
Pretty hard to submit, isn't it, fellas? He must fulfill his responsibility according to the Word of God. He must love his wife as himself. Listen to Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. It takes submitting to do that. Listen to what he says in verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Look in verse 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Now the duty of the wife is to obey, and the right of the husband is to command. Men have to submit to that. Men have to submit to that. Now it takes some submitting to submit to that. Don't let the day and the time in which we live, when the world's trying to turn this thing all around, it's not so easy for you, because of popular opinion, to submit to what God wants you to do in the husband-wife relationship. He must do this in the same spirit that the Lord Jesus did toward His church. I believe He is to enable her to attend the church services. He will be the example, and there will be no sacrifice that will be too great. Another part of His submitting in the home as the head is, He is responsible for His children. Too many men put this off on the women. And there is an important role that God has given them to nurture and to bring these children up in the home. But the head of that home must submit unto God that He is responsible for thee. Listen to Ephesians 6:4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Now you ought not to command anything that is unreasonable. And there ought not to be needless severity. Sometimes this happens by the manifestation of anger. Punish a child not because you're mad or because of anger, but because it's right. Because God requires it, and the welfare of the child demands it. Train them, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, the manner that the Lord approves of. So there is some submitting for the husband to do in the home. But now let's talk about the helpmeet, the wife. Look in Ephesians 5 here, 22 and 24. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. The wife must realize that God has adapted man to be the head of the home. She must realize that. Because He was first created, she was taken from Him, and He is better qualified for ruling. The reason He's better qualified is God made Him to be so. In many other things, she may be His equal. In loveliness, grace, beauty, tenderness, gentleness, she's far His superior. He's usually crude and roughshod. That's what He is. God gave her these superior qualities for the place of her work. You know where that is? In the home. That's why God gave her those qualities. It is the duty of the wife to obey or submit herself to her husband. I believe even in the domestic arrangement. He directs the style of living. He controls the expenses of the family. He even controls the clothing of the family. What they wear. Some men say, you know, we've heard something about dress.
Some men say, well, I can't get my wife to cooperate. Well, if you're a wife like that, you need to submit to your husband as unto the Lord. I believe that wives must realize this and submit in regard to the laws that regulate the family, in regard to the children concerning their education. He's the head of it. Now, she's not duty-bound by certain acts of her husband. He has no right to forbid her to go to church.
Amen.
He has no right to require her to commit an act of dishonesty.
Amen.
For she is bound to obey God rather than man. Amen. Acts chapter 4 and verse 19.
Amen.
You ever seen them culprits that would take this passage of Scripture and twist it around and try to cause their wives to do something that violates God's word? You ever seen those culprits? You pastors have seen them, I know.
Yes.
But then in the home, submitting one another, there's the helpers, that's the children. Listen to what he says here in Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. The children, I'm talking about those that are under the care and the government of their parents. Why must this be? For the good of the family. For the good of the child. Because the child is not competent. How many children y'all know that run the home? The day in which we live, I get aggravated at my children's children. And that's my grandchildren. I get aggravated. We're in an easy permissiveness generation time. And then it filters right over in our churches. And it brings much heartache and sorrow even into our churches today. I can remember back, and I tell teenagers this, and they say, now you start back and tell how it used to be in your day, you're going to do the same thing. And when it's going to start is when you get into place of responsibility and you have your children. I remember it started working on me, well, when I was born, but it really got a hold of me when I was about 13. And then when I got about 16, 17, boy, it really took hold. And I began to think, my dad don't know much. And I began to think, boy, if I ever get out of here, I'm gonna, we had an old 32 Dodge. I remember it had Al Capone wheels on the fenders, you know, and had free whittlings of so many in the floor. And I thought, boy, I ain't going to drive nothing like this. Now, that's the way we think. And every age and every generation goes through this. And what it was the rebellion that was bound up in my heart as a child, and therefore not wanting and willing to submit to my parents. You ever see them come into church and sit on the back seat and their lip hang down to where it touches the floor? One pastor said it wouldn't be lawful and legal, and I'd like to walk back there and slap them. And that might be the only slapping they'd ever get. That's what it might be. But I'm talking about submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God.
Amen.
That's what I'm talking about. I found out, though, there was many a day I wished I was back eating those beans and taters.
Amen.
And I'd given anything to drove that old 32 Dodge. I really was. I found out it wasn't as easy. What it all was I was rebelling against God's ordained chain of authority.
Amen.
God's ordained plan that he'd have planned and decreed even before the foundation of the world that it was going to be that way. And I was rebelling against it. Exactly. And I believe the children, because the parent, by his age and experience, knows. I sat down one night when I was 29 years old, and I wrote my dad a letter, and my mom. And I sat down and I said, I want to tell you how much I love you. I want to thank you for the times that you put shoes on my feet and you set food before me at the table. Wasn't that was, I'm glad that the Lord laid it on my heart even when I was 29 to do it. Sometimes we have to get a little older than that. Sometimes we have to grow up. Exactly what we have to do. So I believe as far as helpers, and submitting, children, obey your parents in the Lord. That which agrees with the Word of God is what he's speaking about. A parent has no right to ask his child to steal, to lie, to cheat, or to do any other thing that's wrong. He don't have any right to do that. The Bible says, for this is right. That is, because it's appointed by God as a duty. And I believe because that children owe a debt of gratitude to their parents for what they've done for them. Because it's good for the children themselves. Because look what he says in the next verse. This takes submitting to. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. It is a commandment with blessing. Long life is a blessing. Obedience to parents has certain traits. You know what these traits are? It will make a child industrious. What's in rebellious? Those that rebel always rebel. They won't hit a lick at a snake. And what it amounts to, it's what they always said at home. He's so lazy he wouldn't hit a lick at a snake. He's about to bite. Now, it'll also cause a child to be temperate. It'll also be the result of a child being sober. It will also lead him to have restraint. But don't you talk to me like that. I'll smack you. That's the way a lot of children talk to their parents. It'll govern his wild passions. It will lead him to form habits of self-government. Many a life is lost early. You know how? By disobeying parents. That's where it's lost. It's lost early.
Amen, brother.
Lord knew what he meant, and he said, train up a child.
Amen.
And the way it ought to go, and the love and the admonition of the Lord. Now, that's two things we submit ourselves to as higher powers and also to in the home. The third thing that I'd like for us to think about is there's some Semitic to be done in the house of God. Now, what I'm talking about here is the church. Now, the church is subject to Christ. He's the head. Look there in Ephesians 5:23. It says very clearly, Christ is the head of the church. In the 24th verse, it says, the church is subject unto Christ. That means the church is to submit unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that a church is under a theocratic rule? We've been Democrats for so long that we believe we can tell God what to do, or the Lord Jesus Christ what to do in His church. But a church, and I just say out of fun, Democrats, because some of you are Republicans, but and of course I'm talking about Democratic rule, you know what we're talking about. I know, but I'm just trying to wake you up. The thing of it is, a church is under a theocratic rule. We are only free to follow our head, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Amen, brother.
That's how free we are.
Amen.
We must follow His rules and standards. We must find the mind and the will of the Lord Jesus Christ as a church in what we do. And too many times we're too quick on the draw. Sometimes we rebel rather than submitting. You remember when they crucified Jesus? I know it was by the determinate counsel of God. They said, "We will not have this man rule over us." Well, a lot of Baptist churches are.
Amen.
I've had them say to me, and you, Pastor, have to, "I don't care what the Bible says." Ever had church members like that? I've had some good ones, too, now. They've not all been bad. I believe to rebel against His Word means to rebel against Christ. Amen. Well, look what He said here in this 5th chapter, verse 26 and 27. That He might sanctify and cleanse it, talking about the church, with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. So I believe in the house of God of the church there is a submitting to the head. But then the church is subject to the pastor. Boy, that's not popular. I read a little thing here called shared ministry. Southern Baptists come up with a new idea. It ain't new to me. They've been doing this ever since I've known them. Shared ministry. I don't know many Baptist churches have ever let their pastor rule. It's usually been the chairman of the deacons. Is who's done it, or a deacon board that has done it. You know about that, don't you, Brother Kelly? Yeah. We've all had some experience with that. I mean, I have. And I don't know about I said we all. I mean, that's pretty inclusive there, but we all. There's a new term called shared ministry. Now, I don't necessarily agree with this fellow on everything, but here's what W.A. Criswell said about it. You all know who W.A. Criswell is. He said, "Lay leadership of the church is unbiblical when it weakens the pastor authority as ruler of the church," said W.A. Criswell. Criswell offered his view and answer to a question about shared ministry. During the closing session of the School of Prophets, at First Church of Dallas, February the 20th, Criswell is pastor of First Baptist Church and chancellor of Criswell Baptist College, co-sponsors of the annual seminar in church dynamics. Although Criswell was not familiar immediately with the term shared ministry, now notice, a current emphasis of the Southern Baptist Sunday School boards, that's enough, at church administration department. A pastor in the attendance who had attended a shared ministry conference said he believed it is an attempt to take away pastoral authority. Criswell expressed his opposition to any such effort, and here's what he said. A laity-led, layman-led, deacon-led church will be a weak church anywhere on God's earth.
Amen.
That's a good enough statement for an independent Baptist to make, isn't it? Criswell said, the pastor is the ruler of the church. There is no other thing than that in the Bible, in the Word of God. So I believe in submitting yourselves unto one another in the fear of God. I believe in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is the submitting to our head, the Lord Jesus Christ. But we must also remember that the church is subject to the pastor.
Amen.
Now the pastor must answer to Christ.
Amen.
He is the subordinate governor. That's who he is. He is given the place and authority to rule. Now, you know, what happens is you've got to start off right to end up right. You all believe that?
Amen.
Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. You got to start off right. Boy, I was torn with something else tonight, and I couldn't never get myself to it. 1 Timothy 3, and look here in verse 1. This is a true saying, if a man desireth the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. Not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. Here it is. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Why? Next verse. For if I'm, and I said you've got to start right. You got to start with the qualifications. You got to begin right, to end up right. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Or how shall he rule the church of God? Now, listen to what he said in the fifth chapter, and there in verse 17. Let the elders that rule well. Rule what? Rule a deacon board? No. Rule a women's missionary union or society? No. Rule the church. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in word and doctrine. Now, all of us have had these kind of problems, and it sort of shocks us. I know and I realize that the Lord places men in the church where He wants them to be. The Holy Spirit does that. We know that, and we know that the church then just says, okay, Lord, you've placed this man here, you're going to place this man here, and we agree with that. Now we know that's the way it works. I mean, I know that's the way it works. Not many churches I've pastored knows that's the way it works. And so God has placed this man there, and so this man is led of the Holy Spirit, led of God, and the people ought to follow the man in whatever he recommends to the church. If it's according to God's word, they ought to do that.
Amen.
They ought to submit.
Amen, brother.
Now, to rule, he is under the head and over the congregation. There must be submitting of the church. The people must submit to the man of God. Listen to what he said in Hebrews 13:7. Brother Connors talked about remembering men when they're gone. Some people ought to remember them while they're here.
Amen. That's true. Amen.
I thought the whole time he preached, I said, Lord, I can't wait to tell them that. You know, he's done tell them. And I believe it's good, and we do. There is a book of remembrance. And now we remember men that leave a mark. But there is a certain thing of remembering the men of God while they're here.
Amen. That's right, brother.
Now look at Hebrews 13:7. Remember them which have the rule over you. Now we know that's more than their acquaintance or just casually bringing to mind. Who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Now we rule not in an arbitrary way, not according to our wills, but according to the law of Christ. That's the way we rule. We direct our people to Christ, and we guide them in the Scriptures. We are an example of holiness and faith before our people. Now remember means acknowledge and respect them as rulers. It also means obey them and submit to them. It also means treasure up in memory their doctrines and exhortations from the Word of God. And it also means pray for them. It also means take care of their livelihood. Now you got a whole lot of remembering to do. That's a whole lot. But I believe that this is just, in this passage of Scripture, submitting yourselves one to the other in fear of God. Now, he goes on and says this part of Scripture, whose faith follow. And you better follow the faith of the man of God that is led of God. For considering the end of their conversation, he goes on and look down in the 17th verse of Hebrews 13. He says this, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is profitable for you. Now, how does a church member obey? They obey by constantly attending to the Word of God and practicing it with faith and love. That's the way they obey. Now, submit to the sheep. We know he knows his sheep, and they hear his voice, and they follow him. How does he speak to his sheep? You say, through the Word. Who brings the Word? Who delivers the Word? Somebody said, well, I'll follow the Lord, but I sure ain't going to follow my pastor. Now, that's the idea. You can't do it. It's impossibility. I just like saying, if I've done anything wrong to anybody out here, y'all forgive me. You ever had experience with that? It's about the same application that you can make to it. I believe that God not only saved his people and some of those people that he put them in his churches, but I believe he gave those churches pastors, and he gave those pastors as spiritual leaders to lead and guide and direct the people. And there's nothing wrong under God's heaven saying that I love my pastor and I'm willing to follow him in the truth. Nothing wrong with that. It's scriptural. Now, for he said, the sheep are to follow the under shepherd. They watch for your souls as they that must give an account. We think of the salvation of people, and we think of building up in the faith. Now, give account of the under shepherd is threefold. First of all, I must give an account to my conscience. Anybody ever try to tell you how to pastor your church according to what they believe in their conscience? But I got to do it according to my conscience. That is, by the standards of God's Word. Now, not a seared conscience, but my conscience. And I quit this. You know, I used to run my fool self crazy trying to please everybody. You know, people say, you ought to be going over here and seeing so-and-so. And you know, I said, would you let me take care of this? Now, that may sound harsh. And I told my church right off, I said, now listen, God called me. And he's going to lead me. And he's going to tell me where to go and what to do. I know. Some churches don't think you know. And they'll tell you. But I believe that we're not only giving account to my own conscience, but there is an accounting to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is an accounting. There is an accounting. I don't believe my church ought to tell me that I can't have but two revivals a year. Because I believe that I don't have enough sense. And I don't believe that the Lord's going to lead me away from my church to injure that work that he's placed me in there to be pastor. Now, I'm hitting it all. This is a good opportunity. Hit it all. You know, when we're going through this. But I am accountable to the church. But then I'll also be given account at the judgment seat of Christ. Not as to what my people have done, but as to what I have taught them and how that I have led them in the Word of God, I'm not responsible to make them do anything. I got a sermon I preach in my church, some things I can't make you do. I spend 45 minutes and wind up telling them I can't make them do anything. A lot of times that's good preaching, you know. But that's the way it is. Now they may do it with joy, that they may do it with joy and with grief. That's the pastor. I do my work cheerfully when obeyed and submitted to. Don't you, brethren? When you follow and practice the word and people grow spiritually, it's a blessing to the man of God. It's a blessing to his heart, the church. Otherwise, my work is heavy and with sorrow. For he said, for that is unprofitable for you. For whose soul they watch. Many times do we have to approach the Lord with a heavy heart.
Amen.
And we say, and I don't mean this sorrow.